It's been good to be here. Appreciate very much what has been shared. Glad for everyone that's here. I see we have quite a few visitors here, and we'd have a pretty empty house if you weren't here, so compared to what we normally have. So glad to have you here with us. I want to turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. I'd like to read chapter 5 and 6. I really want to pull from chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. I know it's quite a bit of reading, but let's just think about the words as we go through this. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then as the offense of the cross ceased, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever every man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, as we come before thee, Again, this is another Lord's Day. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what we've heard, and we just pray that you might help us as we look at this scripture and look at your word, that we might be able to apply it to our lives and be open to what you have for us. We just desire to be more like you and to show forth your love and to be faithful to you till the end of time. We just want to commit this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have to think of that song too, that first song we sang. Brother David read the last two verses. The verse right before that talks about the freedom we have in Christ, or the liberty we have in Christ. And we've just come through another July 4th, a day that's been set aside to celebrate freedom. In the 13th verse there it says, "Brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." You've been called to freedom, brethren, I think we could say, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's what I've titled the message to this morning, "By love serve one another." You know, the last couple months have been very busy months. And it's been a blessing to me to interact and see everyone involved and observe the selflessness, the sacrifices that many of you have made to get ready for the meetings. And now a lot of you are involved in Vacation Bible School. We see the effects. We see what's going on here, and it's a blessing. You know, it's an encouragement to see that and to see that involvement. And there was a lot of effort went into getting things ready for the meetings and trying to make it a pleasant time for all of those involved. You know, most of us are busy anyway, and those things just add to that. You know, we all needed each other's help. We needed each other's encouragement. One of the big projects was getting the church basement cleaned up, and that was no little project. It's still ongoing, and I saw this morning there's more progress made. Someone's still keeping on faithfully working down there. It's looking much better, more hopeful than it did the night of the demolition. Those of you that were here, it was a messy project, to say the least. You know, some of us went away not feeling real well. It took a couple days for me I felt the effects of that, things that were floating around down there that we couldn't see, I guess. But it needed to be done so that there could be better days ahead. It needed to be done so that, to clean the environment. But you know, before there could be improvement, there had to be a mess. Paul Tripp mentions in one of his books that church is a mess worth making. I mean, we don't think about, haven't thought about it that way. And you know, maybe we experienced that in a literal way here with our church building. It was a mess, and I think it was worth making. I overheard some, and I think maybe I even joined in a little bit. You know, it would almost be nice just sometimes to start over and get rid of the mess. But you know, if you think of that, I remember some of you here do too, when this church house was built. And that was a mess too. I was in the eighth grade, I think, that year, and there was six or seven of us boys in that grade. I can't remember exactly. I think there was seven at that time. And a lot of our job was to clean the mess. We'd come over and we'd get to clean things up. But I also remember there was good times working together. There was also some other times that were maybe you call a little messy. There was times of got a little confrontational and different thoughts on how we should do things, how things should be done. And I know there had to be apologies made and worked through. That's church life, whether we're in the building part of it or whether we're in church. Things can get rough sometimes. You know, when there's sisters, when you have a house full of company for Sunday dinner, I dare say there will be a mess of some kind to clean up. There will be, to some degree anyway, depending what you have, some more than others. I'd say it's a little hard to make some good mashed potatoes without making a mess. I won't go into a lot of details, or some of you might quit listening to me and start thinking about what's ahead. But there needs to be a mess, and that's a mess worth making. We look forward to that, the fruit of that, partaking in that. Well, Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Well, often we think of provoke as a negative. You know, it says, "Provoke not your children to wrath," in another place, fathers, and so on. But this is a positive provoking, encouraging one another to love and to look out for the good of each other. The Greek word there would, if I can pronounce it, parakaleo, something like that, would be to urge or to call for earnestly, to encourage. Now, the church, Brother David talked about that. I appreciate what he shared. Now, the precious blood-bought bride of Christ is made up of imperfect people. You know, we'd all like to be a part of a church. That's just a perfect scenario. We all love each other. We're all rooting for each other. Everything is going great. Brotherhood without any struggles. You know, what this past year at Bible school, when Brother Charles was having meetings, Charles Hamilton was having meetings, we were there one evening, and he asked the young people, he said, "How many of you come from a church that there's absolutely no problems, no struggle? Everyone loves each other. Everything is just wonderful. There's no problems." And he said, "Raise your hand." He waited a little bit and he said, "If you do, I'm going home with you." I thought, you know, how true. You know, maybe we feel sometimes like we have enough mess in other elsewhere in our lives that here's one place there won't be any struggles. There shouldn't be. Well, that passage we read in Galatians was written to a group of people that were struggling. And the part we read, where we read in Galatians chapter 5 and 6, the Apostle Paul was trying to help them work through the mess that they were dealing with. And I trust as we look at this passage, it will be encouragement to each of us to, through love, to serve one another in the body of Christ, here at Ozark Mennonite Church, or whatever church you're a part of. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." We start out there with a reminder. Ye have been called unto liberty. Liberty in Christ. Then he says, use with a warning. He says, "Use not a liberty for an occasion to the flesh." And in verse 15 says, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." You know, that sounds pretty, if you think about what he's really saying there, that's pretty drastic. And then in the last part of 13, he says, "But by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." What is the liberty or freedom that we've been called to? You know, citizens of this country, we often think of freedom as political freedom, or we may think of freedom in terms of freedom of religion. If any of you have been reading the book that Chester Weaver recommended, and they had here for sale over the fellowship meetings, Bearing Witness, you know, we're reminded that what we have, the blessings we have, the freedom we have, freedom of religion we have, is not normal. It's not a lot of people that do not have that today. And some of those stories are very recent, in recent history. Even in this country. That's not the freedom that the apostle is talking about here. He wasn't experiencing freedom of religion. He was suffering for what he stood for. He suffered severely. Beaten, shipwrecked. He has a whole list of things that he went through. But he was talking about freedom in Christ. Brotherhood relationships will not flourish without being grounded in this freedom. You know, you were called to liberty when God called you into a relationship with Himself. You know, last Sunday evening in our instruction class, One of the questions was, what changed in your life when you gave your heart to Christ? Or that was the essence of it. I didn't look it up to see exactly what the wording was. But you know, one common thread that came through when together their answers there, and it was a blessing. I enjoyed that class. But it was that there was peace. And, you know, I think if we look, all of us that have made that commitment, that have truly made that commitment, when we look back to that time, we remember that peace that came, that freedom, that fear was gone. You know, when you went to bed at night, you didn't have to worry. Excuse me. You know, you didn't, that fear of, you know, what if something happens tonight? You know, that was gone. It's a peace, a liberty in Christ. That relationship with Christ. Freedom that can't be taken away. A freedom that comes only as you are in a living, in a vibrant relationship with the living God. And apart from Him, there's bondage. Moral and spiritual bondage. Slavery to sin. You know, this freedom can be had whether you live in this country or whether you live in North Korea. It's something that can't be taken away. The more vibrant our relationship is with Christ, the more freedom you will enjoy. Now, the Apostle Paul, he met Christ on the way to Damascus, on the road. When he met Christ, you know, there was a change. Suddenly he realized he was not his own. He was not Lord of his own. His self wasn't on the, couldn't be on the throne. Instead of him going to the rulers and asking permission to go do what he thought was right to do, like he had before he started out on his mission to Damascus, now it was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do? Now that was when Saul found liberty. You know, when God calls and we answer like Saul, he frees you from yourself. You know, apart from heeding that powerful and effectual call in your life, you're enslaved to yourself. You're enslaved to the flesh. I'm not exactly sure who it was at the meetings that mentioned the part of, you know, self being on the throne. Self being, we're, you know, when we follow, when we leave, when we're not following Christ, we're, is self is the one that's, that we are, is in control of our lives. Verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. If we look at that list of deeds of the flesh listed in verse 19, and we read it in the King James, maybe we can kind of say, well, you know, that's a little bit out of, that's out there. That's not here. That's not here. That's not me. Well, Paul was talking to people that were part of a church. If we change those words to a little more to the words we use today, sensuality, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. You know, if these things are being manifest in our lives, we're not living in liberty. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, although self is crucified, it's not eliminated in this life. It's always wanting to stick up its ugly head. And that's what causes a struggle. The flesh is utterly ruthless. He will seize every opportunity that you give it. You know, what ways do we give the flesh an opportunity to establish, if you do want to say, a base of operations in our life? And I'll list a couple here. One is when we provide opportunity for the flesh. We provide opportunity for the flesh when we coddle or an unforgiving spirit or harbor a grudge toward another person. Now that is giving opportunity to the flesh. We provide opportunity for the flesh when we fail to overlook minor offenses. You know, as fallen, sinful human beings were continually, you know, maybe we could say throwing pebbles in the in another's path, or you know, something that just rubs wrong. And how do we, are we easily offended? Do those things get us down, and we just can't deal with it? You know, if we distance ourselves and don't have much to do with each other, we may be able to exist without really serving one another, just going our own way, living our own lives. And I think that's a blessing of being in a brotherhood where we work together, where we have the school, where we have the broader, where we have to rub shoulders and work together. I think that's what we're called to do. That's what God calls His people to. We provide opportunity for the flesh when we put a negative spin on the actions of others. You know, we assign motives. Instead of following 1 Corinthians 13, you know, love beareth all things, believeth all things. Instead of thinking positively, we put a negative. You know, we see things through the glasses that we have on instead of trying to look at it positively. We provide an opportunity for the flesh when we indulge in speaking negatively about our brethren. You know, we heard a lot about that last Sunday, about the tongue. Out of James chapter 3, James 4:11 says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." You know, we think of the power of the tongue for good or for bad. Ephesians 4:22 says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have..." excuse me, "that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." You know, that's the part of having a change of heart, like we heard about. You know, when we engage in negative conversations, or we continue in conversation when it turns negative, you know, those vices that we talked about earlier show their ugly heads. Gossip, critical speech, harsh words, insults, sarcasm, ridicule. You know, we come away feeling oily and dirty. You know, I've been accused of being able to work and come home clean, or told I must not have done any work because you're too clean. But it didn't. You know, some jobs you can do that if you use a little care. You know, you can take the shortest route and go through the mud puddle, or you can walk around the mud puddle and take a couple extra steps and, you know, keep yourself a little cleaner. There's options you have sometimes. And it's not really right or wrong, but you can do it either way. But mechanic work is one job that I rarely, if ever, see a clean mechanic. You know, at least not his hands and his arms. I'm sorry, but... mechanics, but that's just the way it is. And when you touch oily things, it don't brush off. It's there. And you get oily or greasy, black. And when I try to do a little mechanical work, I find it impossible to stay clean. And the problem is it doesn't only get in your hands. The first thing you know, you got it up here in your arms, and it's starting to rub on other stuff, and it just don't go away. It just seems to jump out at you. Well, I think, you know, when we spend time with critical and negative people, when we go along with that, you know, we have to be very careful. We'll find ourselves oily. when we we'll find ourselves, we'll find it rubbing off, and we'll find it hard to get off. It becomes a part of us. When we spend time with positive people, those that see the good in others, and are praying to that end, it's an encouragement. And when someone does talk over a brother or sister, you know, why do we take it upon ourselves to go deliver that news to the brother or sister? It does him or her no good. Then leave it. Challenge the person that is talking negatively. Now, have you went to that person? Have you talked directly to them with your grievances? If not, why are you talking over them? You know, I believe we have that obligation to each other as a brotherhood. If we do feel we need to go talk a grievance out with your brother or sister, you know, do it face to face if possible. So often things only get worse when we communicate via text, email, or etc. You know, I think it's good to, and I know I've been guilty of that myself. Something about just being able to see each other and talk to each other, just a lot of times things can be worked out much smoother. But you know, instead of giving in to these sins of the flesh, we commit ourselves to by love, serve one another. You know, I'm convinced that 90%+ of our problems would go away. Our troubles would go away in the brotherhood. We'd find ourselves part of a thriving brotherhood. And when we abuse our liberty, we lose our freedom. When we use it for an opportunity to the flesh, we don't become more free, but more enslaved to our own selfish passions and desires. We let the flesh make inroads in our lives, and it affects our brotherhood relationships. Now, that's why it's so important to be vigilant in guarding against the flesh. We need to take our defense system seriously. What are you doing to guard against falling to those sins of the flesh? By love, serving one another. You know, that's one positive way. And I appreciate it. I like that. I didn't read the Sunday school lesson before this morning, but that verse 15 where it says they were, I think it was the house of Stephanus, was addicted to service. You know, could that be, someone mentioned that in our Sunday school, you know, that's a good thing to be said about you. You know, could that be said about you? Could that be said about me? That we're addicted to serving. And to be, it's important to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Bearing one another's burdens. You know, these are some of the words that came out of this passage. Let us not be weary in well-doing, as we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And when those that are faithful come to the end of life as we know it, where we struggle with the flesh, we can look forward to heaven, the final resting place, where we'll be free in the real sense, no temptations, dwelling with one another in perfect loving service, joy and delight forever and ever. Oh, what tranquility there will be in such a world as this. And who can express the fullness and the blessedness of this peace? What calm is this? How sweet and holy and joyous. What a haven of rest to enter after having passed through the storms and tempests of this world, in which pride and selfishness and envy and malice and scorn and contempt and contention and vice are as waves of a restless ocean, always rolling ahead and often dashed about in violence and fury. And oh, what joy there will be springing up in the hearts of the saints after they have passed through their wearisome pilgrimage to be brought to such a paradise as this. Every saint in heaven is as a flower in that garden of God, and holy love is a fragrance and sweet odor they all send forth, and with which they fill the bowers of that paradise above. Every soul there is as a note in some concert of delightful music that sweetly harmonizes with every note, and all blend together in the most rapturous strains, in praising God and the Lamb forever and ever. And thus they will love and reign in love, and in that godlike joy that is its blessed fruit, such as eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man in this world to conceive. And thus, in the sunlight of the throng, enraptured with joys that are forever increasing, and yet forever full, they shall reign with God in Christ forever and ever. You know, I had to think of that song. You know, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Well, in closing, what are some practical ways of serving one another? You know, praying for each other. You know, praying for the brotherhood in general and specific names. 1 Peter 4:7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality to one another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Watch unto prayer. And if you're a member here, you know, you're a part of what I consider a large congregation. And you know, we have limitations. You only have time for so much. But you know, we each have the responsibility to reach out. And in a group this size with this many people, I believe it's easy to feel alone. And no one's reaching out to me. No one's, I'm nobody. But you know, I challenge you, are you reaching out to others? You know, make that phone call. Give a word of encouragement when you can. You know, Proverbs says, "He that hath friends must show himself friendly." You know, we can't just expect others to come to us. And we need friends. We need friends, not just a friend. You know, I appreciate our accountability groups. One blessing in that is, I think, just simply being able to sit down and discuss life and the things we're facing in a little different way than we can. We can't get around all the way like that. Another thing that's, I think, very important is attending church functions whenever possible. You know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is. I can't quote the last part there. So much the more as we see the day approaching. You know, you can sit at home and listen, and that's great. I'm glad we can do that. If it's not possible to make it just service, but I think there's something missing. It's the fellowship. It's being together, and the fellowship afterwards. It's a blessing to me to see a service end, and there's just not one big shoot for the door. That people are there's fellowship. People are talking together. Hospitality. There's so much going on. We're so busy. I think it's easy for us to let that area of service fall through the cracks. You know, I remember the days when we just decided to go somewhere in the evening. We'd take a drive and we'd stop at somebody's place. And, you know, now if you start to do that and your children say, "Well, what are you doing? Did they invite us?" You know, "Boy, this is embarrassing. You know, we're not going to go there." Well, I mean, maybe you should try it sometime. You know, Christ was a perfect example for us. As we seek to be like him, you know, he served by love. He was dedicated to service. He was free from self. As we seek to walk with him, you know, we'll want to treat each other with the grace and the mercy because of what he has done for us. You know, the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, the love by which we are called to serve one another is a love of God that is channeled through us in service to our brethren. You know, Christ was willing to lay down his life for us. Are you willing to lay down your life for the brotherhood and by love to serve one another? Are we doing, like we heard in the devotional, the best? Are we giving our best, doing all we can for Christ? When we get to the end of the race, I believe that's going to be the question that is going to stand before us and haunt us if we didn't put everything into this race, put everything into serving Him, serving one another. Hebrews 13:15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.